This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM, your nonprofit community radio station, online at prp.fm. And brought to you by KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Also brought to you by X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM, online at xray.fm. This is the Student Hour.
Hello, listeners. This is Trey from AM 1450 KBPS. Today, I'll be talking about how basketball season is coming at full effect. As of right now, three times a week, we got conditioning ran by the head coach, also known as Coach Earl. What happens during conditioning is we get there, warm up, stretch, and we run a mile. We run a mile, and after that, we start jump roping from anywhere from 10, or I say 5 to 15 minutes. Then after that, we will do sprints, sprint back and forth maybe four times, just to get warmed back up, and then we'll do some core workouts to help end off our session. We got those three times a week. And coming up pretty soon, in 2 weeks, we got Fall League. Fall League will be hosted at Milwaukee High School and Westland High School. And the games go from anywhere from like 2 to 6 p.m. Our first game is September 24th at Milwaukee High School at 2 p.m. And we will play Westland because it's a Westland's tournament. It's getting hosted there. And Fall League goes on for around, I'd say like 3 weeks. And then when that 3 weeks end of Fall League, starting like November 15th, we'll have tryouts for basketball. So from November 15th to like December 5th, our first game of the season is December 5th. It's going to be practice all the way up until our first game against Nelson at Nelson High School. That game is about to be a thriller game, a very important game, because I just came back from that school, back to Benson Polytechnic to play as an Astro here. Definitely pull up to that game. If you're listening, you like watching basketball, pull up to that game and show some love. Also, I also have a fellow teammate with me that will be playing on my team. And I just want to say his name is Eunice Ali. And Eunice, can you please talk about how ready you are for battle?
So I'm looking forward for, you know, like team practices and stuff. You know, preseason is going to be fun. We got fall season starting up soon. And I'm looking forward to stuff like that.
Now, Eunice, our conditioning that's been going on three times a week, like, what are your opinions on that? Like, is it good? Is it stressful? Like, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's all right, but, like, the core workouts are not it, you know? Like, stressful core workouts.
And earlier, Eunice, I talked about how we're about to have Fall League for, like, I'm pretty sure a month that goes on at Milwaukee High School. Are you ready to play in that?
Yeah, I'm ready to play in it. We're going to win, you know what I'm saying?
And I also said that our first game is against Westland. How confident are you about us playing against Westland this year? You know they just lost two of the best players they got, Jackson Schostad and Adrian Mosley. Do you think we have a good chance this year?
I think we have a very good chance. We have like a 95% chance of winning, you know, with a healthy squad.
And lastly, what I want to talk about is our first game at Nelson, knowing that I just came back from that school. We got some friends that we're going to play against. How is your mind thinking about for this game? Like, are you excited for the first game of the season?
Yeah, I'm very excited for the first game of the season. I don't think Nelson is ready. You know, they got a lot of freshmen leading them this year, so pretty immature squad.
Hey, that's all the time I got, folks. Again, my name is Trey from AM 1450 KBPS. Thanks for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, and KBOO. Sunshine, driving through the desert with the radio on. We hit the recline. Wow.
let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Weather, baby, just how Mother Nature made you. Even rain is better with you. Got the power of a goddess, but you're always being modest. And if I'm being honest, I got nothing on you, it's true. Don't know what I've done, but it must be something right. Got an angel by my side as the world keeps flying by. Love it when we're vibing, chasing that horizon. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, let your soul shine, let your soul shine. Don't need no medication, don't need no reservation. Feels like I'm on vacation when I'm with you, with you. Gonna take this road with to a higher elevation. Feels like I'm on vacation when I'm with you. It's true. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the Student Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Other Boys by Dove Cameron and Marshmello. It was released on September 8th and produced by Christopher Comstock and Evan Blair. Let's take a listen.
Why can't you want me like the other boys do? They stare at me while I stare at you. Summertime, Eastside New York City. It's too hard to sleep. Half alive, and my mind is dripping. I'm twisting the sheets. Cause my heart can't be satisfied by anyone but you tonight. And when I try, it only makes me blue. Why can't you want me like the other boys do? They stare at me while I stare at you. Just want you. I don't.
Waves by Dove Cameron and Marshmello is an infectious pop anthem that resonates with both its catchy melody and heartfelt lyrics. Cameron's ethereal vocals take the center stage, conveying a sense of vulnerability and strength as she explores the themes of self-discovery and love. The song's production, courtesy of Marshmello, combines both synths and a pulsating beat that complements the uplifting message of the track. Other Boys is an empowering and relatable anthem for anybody who has struggled with finding their own identity or navigating the complexities of relationships. The song's chorus is an absolute earworm, with Cameron's voice soaring as she sings, "Why can't you want me like the other boys? They stare at me while they stare at you. Why can't you want me, baby? What can I do? I don't want the other boys, I just want you." This declaration of love and individuality is both infectious and empowering, making Other Boys a standout in the pop music landscape. The collaboration between Dove Cameron and Marshmello results in a dynamic and memorable track that not only gets you moving, but also strikes a chord with its message of authenticity and self-acceptance. Other Boys is a delightful fusion of Cameron's captivating vocals and Marshmello's production prowess, leaving a lasting impression on listeners. This is Zip from KBPS.
Come a long way, haven't we, baby? Yeah, you and me. Yeah, we're still dreaming. We built a family, little house, filled it up with memories. And we still believe in the yesterdays we fell down some. And the best of days are yet to come. The little things, they all add up. If it overflows, you raise your cup. We got big, 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 big love. Bigger than the sun coming down on us. When it goes down. In their bank account, but only God knows how many times you go around this world. Girl, we gonna make it count. We don't need $1 million cause we got £1 million of love, love, love. We can make it rain coming down from above. We got love, love, love. We can make it rain coming down from above. Cause we got big, 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 big love. Bigger than the sun coming down on us. When it goes down, now we can light it up. Cause we got big. Best of days are yet to come. The little things, they all add up. If it overflows, you raise your cup. Cause we got big, 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 big love. Bigger than the sun coming down on us. When it goes down, now we can light it up. Cause we got big, 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 big love. And oh my, 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 my. Every little thing's gonna be alright. Throw your hands high in the air, one love.
Is the Student Hour, student voices from the city of Portland. I'm here with my friend Connor.
Hi.
And he's actually dating a new girl. Yay. So Connor, I'm gonna interview you about that.
Okay, sounds good.
So Connor, how did you meet this girl? And what's her name?
Her name is Evelyn, and I met her at my friend's birthday party.
Okay, so what was your first interaction?
Kind of nervous to make the first move, since whenever I talk to new people, I always get butterflies in my stomach, but then I just got the confidence to walk up and ask her and be like, hey, I like you. Do you think I could get your number? Like, as friends, to not make it, you know, weird as possible.
So, like, did you know her, like, before this or what?
No, I had never met her.
So, tomorrow, October 21st, you are going to go on a date. Where are you going?
We're going to do the Oaks Park roller rink.
That sounds really fun. I always wanted to go roller rinking.
I'm pretty decent at roller skating. I can't do, like, any of the tricks or whatever, but I can balance pretty good, and I can fall with style and
kind of
catch myself while falling.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty impressive. Okay, you go, Connor. What are her three favorite things?
Damn, I don't actually know.
So, Connor, what are your future plans with this girl?
I try and take things slow and then see where we go from there. I don't actually know, to be honest. I'm not thinking about the future. I'm kind of just staying in the present.
So, Connor, do you have anything in common?
Yeah, we both have ADHD, and we both dislike our siblings, who are very small and annoying.
So, Connor, do you talk to this girl on the phone often?
Yeah, but she's pretty busy, like, right now, since she's got, like, siblings to take care of, and her mom and dad work late, so she's watching her siblings, but sometimes we get to, like, call, which is always very lovely to just chat with her about what happened in our day and just say, like, I love you and a bunch of stuff. Normal boyfriend-girlfriend stuff.
That's very wholesome, Connor. Very inspiring. Okay, thank you, Connor, for this great interview. And this has been the Student Hour with Sydney and Connor.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Makai from Makai's Random Radio Show. Today I'll be talking about one of my favorite books of poetry. The book I want to talk about is a somewhat short collection of poems called Over the Anvil We Stretch by one N.S. Forjani. The poems themselves are kind of, kind of a nostalgia thing for me. It was my father's favorite poetry book from what I've heard, and I can kind of understand it. The poems are short, but really deep. They kind of hold this sort of hominess to them. They tend to include topics on, like, windows, the dust between them, floors, your dog you had when you were, like, 10, that type of thing. They're poems that introspect on life, and I can really appreciate them. I also really appreciate how evocative Ennis is, with his heavy details on colors and textures and the general feeling of a space. The poems really invoke memories that maybe you don't have exclusively, but they invoke the idea of a memory, and I really appreciate it. Another thing I really adore about his poetry is how personal it gets. They include a lot of poetry, or I suppose poems, about relationships he's had. He includes a lot of sentiments on how, even if the relationship has passed over, he can really appreciate what he got from it. He includes a lot of very powerful metaphors and callbacks to those past relationships and those past people, and I really enjoy that. It's just a very nice look into a personal life. Another thing that I absolutely adore in this book specifically is its call to religion and how kind of amorphous it is, at least with his work. I very much so connect to his view of religion, again, exclusively in this book. I haven't read any of his other work yet. He talks about religion as a very personal thing, but not in the sense you often get it, but instead of, like, an amorphous sense of the world is God, that certain pockets of memory or sensation can be very religious. I very much appreciate it. He also brings a sense of domesticism to his views on religion, or at least in a few of his poems. He often calls back to how much of a always there sensation it is, and I can really appreciate it. All in all, this book is one of my favorites of poetry. It's all of the things I adore in poetry. It's small, but tackles big things in a way that everyone thinks of them. It's very tied to reality, but in reality in the sense that it's not a daydream necessarily, but more of a passing thought, and I absolutely adore it. Once again, this has been Makai from The Student Hour on KPBS, and thank you for listening. All of this, check out Over the Animal We Stretch. It's a great book, in my opinion. Yeah.
Hello, all. My name's Dane, and today I have a very special segment, poetry. I know that not everyone enjoys reading poetry, but surely everyone enjoys hearing it. First, My Number by Billy Collins. It's death miles away from this house, reaching for a window in Cincinnati, or breathing down the neck of a lost hiker in British Columbia. Is he too busy making arrangements, tampering with air brakes, scattering cancer cells like seeds, loosening the wooden beams of roller coasters, to bother with my hidden cottage that visitors find so hard to find? Or is he stepping from a black car parked at the dark end of the lane, shaking open the familiar cloak, its hood raised like the head of a crow, and removing the scythe from the trunk? Did you have any trouble with the directions, I will ask, as I start to talk my way out of this. And now, 'Twas Warm at First, Like Us, by Emily Dickinson. 'Twas warm at first, like us, until there crept upon a chill like frost upon a glass till all the scene be gone. The forehead copied stone, the fingers grew too cold to ache like a skater's brook, the busy eyes congealed. It straightened, that was all. It crowded cold to cold, it multiplied, indifference as pride were all it could, and even when the cords 'twas lowered like a weight, it made no signal nor demurred, but dropped like adamant. The Apparition by John Donne. When by thy scorn, O murderess, I am dead, and that thou think'st thee free from all solicitations for me, then shall my ghost come to thy bed, and thee, feigned vestal, in worse arms shall see, then thy sick taper will begin to wink, and he whose thou art then, being tired from will, if thou stir or pinch to wake him, think thou callest for more, and in false sleep will from thee shrink. And then poor Aspen, wretch neglected, thou bathed in a cold quicksilver sweat, wilt lie, a verier ghost than I. What I will say, I will not tell thee now, lest that preserve thee, and since my love is spent, I had rather thou shouldst painfully repent than by my threatenings rest still innocent. And our last poem, Acquainted with the Night, by Robert Frost. I have been one acquainted with the night. I have walked out in the rain and back in the rain. I have outwalked the furthest city light. I have looked down the saddest city lane. I have passed by the watchman on his beat and dropped my eyes, unwilling to explain. I have stood still and stopped the sound of feet when far away an interrupted cry came over houses from another street, but not to call me back or say goodbye. And further still at an unearthly height when luminary clock against the sky proclaimed the time was neither wrong nor right, I have been one acquainted with the night. Thank you for listening to The Student Hour. This has been Dane. Stay tuned for more.
Why is everybody in the world seem so divided? Why is everybody gotta hate each other? Who decided? If I took all the world's pride and all the world's money and wrapped it in a blanket and put it in a buggy, could you see that maybe that baby was just the same as you are? You know it's never been easy. Every day for everybody ain't breezy. And I hope you realize when you look into another person's eyes, you know today would be a very good day just to have a good day. You know today would be a very good day just to have a good day. With a little more love and a little more laughter, a little more good vibes, less disaster. You know today would be a very good day just to have a good day all day long. Everybody's in the streets out coughing. Smog in the air gonna send you to your coffin. Plastic everywhere down there with the dolphins. Everybody was born to a mama, so everybody is connected like karma. So disconnect yourself from the drama. Everybody's trying to heal like trauma.
You know it's never been easy. Every day for everybody ain't breezy. And I hope you realize when you look into another person's eyes, you know today will be a very good day just to have a good day. You know today will be a very good day just to have a good day. With a little more love and a little more laughter, a little more good vibes, less disaster. You know today will be a very good day just to have a good day. And I say, hey, hey, put all my troubles to the side. And I say, hey, hey, thank God that we're alive. And I say, hey, hey, put all my troubles to the side. And I say, hey, hey, thank God that we're alive. You know today will be a very good day just to have a good day. You know today would be a very good day just to have a good day. With a little more love and a little more laughter, a little more good vibes, less disaster. You know today would be a very good day just to have a good day. All day, day, day.
My name is Kimora Goldsby from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson Polytechnic High School. I am back again. Hope all is well. Y'all know I love to start off all my videos making sure that everything is good, even though I can't hear your answers. But again, hope all is well. This month is Mental Awareness Month, and I just want to speak a little bit about that. I'm sure we all know that is very important. Backtrack a little bit. Last week or a couple weeks ago, I was talking about outdoor school and my decisions about that and joining a dance team and letting you guys know about dance classes if you want to just get your workout on. And that is very good for mental as well. But today and this week, we're talking about mental awareness. I think that is very important just due to the fact people really suffer from that, and it could go good and it could go bad. Some people can stay in that stage and not know how to come up out of that. And I really think that it's very important for everyone to know that and be aware of that, and people go through things. And to always be kind to one another. Mental awareness is also important because you can just be in this bubble and not know what to do next, even though you want to progress, and it can be very hard because your mind is telling you one thing. So it can be hard, and that's why we got to bring awareness to it and then know that you're not alone. So things that I do to just make sure I'm good mentally is just really having that self-confidence and just telling yourself that everything is going to be okay. And I'm a spiritual person, so I put it all in God's hands and just pray about it. Not only that, just walking, you know, just around the corner or just having those deep breaths here and there, that helps just calm nerves and all that. Although it is hard and some it doesn't work, but find something that calms you and be aware of mental health. And I am Kimora, and I'm closing out just something really slight and quick today. Be aware of your mental. Again, I am Kimora. Please remember me. Talk to you guys later. I am from KBPS at Benson Polytechnic High School. I wanted to say, go on our website. Sometimes we do like calls, or sometimes we do Q&A's, questions and answers. And I'd love to answer some questions. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Student Hour, student voices from Portland for Portland.
powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Please support our partners at PRP.FM, KBOO.FM, and X-Ray.FM.
Hello, listeners. This is Ebony from AM 1450 KBPS. Today, I will be talking about my favorite music artists and concerts that I've been to. My favorite all-time artist is Beyoncé, and I've loved her ever since I was, like, a little girl. She just is such a queen and inspires me so much because she's just, like, I don't even know how to describe it. She is a very inspiring, period. But my very first concert that I went to was her. She came to Portland, and she was a really good performer. Like, I was super excited about it, and she made it such a great experience. I feel like you guys should definitely go see her if she comes to your city or goes on tour again, because she was really, really good. And the second concert I went to was YG, and that was really fun. It was just a great concert. I love seeing artists perform in their element on stage. It's super cool. And then my favorite concert that I have been to is Beyoncé. I went, like, in September of this year, and it was just a life-changing experience. Like, honestly, she is so mesmerizing and beautiful in person. And she is such a great performer. Like, in person, you see her performing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's just so serious and locked in. I feel like if I was performing, I would literally get sidetracked. But no, she's an amazing performer. And I think that is something that everyone should experience in their life, is a Beyoncé concert. Everyone was dressed up. The theme was, like, silver or something. And everyone was dressed up to that. And I sang every single song, screamed it with my whole heart. My favorite song is Diva, that she performed, because that was, like, my childhood song. Like, I would always dance to that in the living room, and it's just such a vibe. She's just a vibe, period. Like, I don't know. I would definitely go back and see her. She is coming out with a movie in November, I think, and I advise everybody to go watch it, because you will be touched and learn something important, period. She had a performance, I think it was like 2018. I honestly don't even know what year it was, but it was the Coachella performance, and I was watching Homecoming Live on Netflix. It's one of my favorite films. She is just a queen. Like, I don't know, I could keep going on and on about how much I love Beyoncé, but yeah, that's all I've got to say. Again, my name is Ebony from AM 1450 KBPS. Thanks for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, and KBOO. Bye.
TriMet, public transportation that everyone uses. It helps many people get to where they need to be. But there are risks involved. According to TriMet.org, there was a violent crime on TriMet almost every day. As a Benson student, my friends and I take TriMet often. Here are some of our tips on how to stay safe on TriMet.
Be aware of what's around you. If someone doesn't look okay, try to move away discreetly. Go towards the front of the bus or train. You can also use the emergency intercom to talk to the MAX driver. Travel in a group. Being with someone else makes travel much safer. Friends can help keep each other safe. Stay alert and don't get distracted. Dozing off on your phone can cause you to miss your stop, but more dangerously, it can open the door to a disaster. Always be aware of your surroundings. Bad situations don't usually start with a bang. They creep up on you. It's important to see the smoke before the fire. Self-defense. Being able to fend off an attacker is key. mace is a common defense tool that is both small and easy to conceal.
Thanks for doing your part to stay aware and help keep TriMet safe. Stay safe out there and take your love to the max.
I tell my friends, I'm feeling like you're coming cause I feel the sun. I'm waiting for the special touch you give. I'm needing
Hello, this is Travis Keller reporting in. Today I'm going to talk about Titanfall 2 and Titanfall 3 and Apex Legends, how those kind of fell into the same story that I talked about today. In Titanfall 2, in October of 2016, when it was released, it was probably one of the best games that had its rise. Thousands of players played it. You'd always have up to like 30 seconds of waiting time. It was like back then Call of Duty kind of times. But then after the years, more recently of 2020, it fell to the lack of content and bugs. So nobody really wanted to have it. When Apex was gonna release a new game, they were thinking, oh, it's gonna be the new Titanfall 3. But soon after, it was Apex Legends, which is part of the Titanfall franchise, which everybody kind of hated and then sort of loved. There was a lot of character growth built into it. People were expecting it to grow a lot when people started to like it, but people started to get off, quote-unquote, a dying game due to the lack of updates and bug harassers like glitching through the floor, duplicating weapons, and etc. And soon, on October 27th, EA is going to make a short trailer about the true Titanfall 3 coming out, which people are quote-unquote screaming about having this game in their hands. I am too, and I'm wanting to pre-order this game as soon as possible. I'm excited. This was my childhood game I've played since the first one, and I want to say one of my favorite things about the first one, it was so realistic to the other ones, like Call of Duty back then. And so what I'm excited about this game is having maybe about Titanfall, there's Titans, so maybe more Titans, maybe more different pilot abilities, maybe more guns gonna be used, or different abilities, like all these kind of things, making this Titanfall 3 probably one of the best experiences, because I've been waiting for this game since literally 2020, 3 years in the making. When it was like dying, when Apex Legends was dying, I've been waiting for 3 years, and now I'm happy. 2023 is going to be a great year. I hope all y'all stay safe, stay home if you're sick, and remember, drink lots of water. Travis signing out.
Joe Anderson, I am a slightly politically informed senior here at Benson Polytechnic High School, majoring in radio broadcasting. Joining me is another slightly informed senior. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is James. I am also in the radio broadcasting major, and I'm also a senior, and I am your other slightly informed political person.
We say slightly informed because the instant us teenagers start talking about politics, someone's going to call us up. These kids don't know what they're talking about. You know, they put kids on the air and
a bunch of malarkey. Yes.
So that's our little disclaimer. It's our footnote. So we are slightly informed. So everything you hear, take it with a grain of salt. And also do know that we are recording like a week or two in advance of the release of the show. So take it with like a double grain of salt, like grain of salt squared. Okay. So we were just going to jump on and talk a little bit about the Senate, not the U.S. Senate, but a little
Senate closer to home, you could say, yeah, you know, yeah.
A Senate simulation we had in our AP government class, which was so fun. Let me tell you, I love the legislative process, and I love especially getting to act it out like we did today, you know.
Sorry, Joe. You had, in the Senate simulation, if I'm correct, you had a pretty big role, didn't you?
I was. So, little background for AP Gov. We got assigned roles. We got assigned political parties. I was the Democrat. James, you were the Republican.
I was, but I unfortunately was only a Senate member and didn't have any remarkable roles, although being a Senate member is a remarkable role in itself, though.
It's pretty nice. What, you get, yeah, like a full salary for,
oh,
like,
yeah, it's nice.
6 years of like guaranteed service and like. But yeah, back to the Senate simulation. We got assigned into different groups: Democrat, Republican. Democrats were in the minority in this class for the simulation, which I thought was pretty interesting, because when we did our political ideology quiz, those with liberal ideals were in the majority. So I think our teacher pulled a fast one on us, trying to get us to flip on our own beliefs. But I got assigned Democrat senator, and I got elected Democratic minority leader of the Senate. And we had three bills that we were in our little committees debating on. And we're going to talk about those bills and what it means and our perspectives on the issues that raises, especially for us here as students, and the unique perspective that we have on there. So, James, why don't you name one of the three bills that we debated in our little Senate simulation?
So I think one of the most cut and dry ones that we kind of saw was the bill about the military budget. And I believe that it was called, sorry, you might have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but it was the Military Budget Limiting Fund.
It's like Reduction Act.
So, believe that's what it was.
Ironically, in the end, the Military Reduction Act that our class passed, like, increased the military budget by like 20%. So, yeah, it's really interesting how that works out. But, you know, our party, we decided our platforms, you know, what was important to us. And when it came to military spending, at least on my Democratic side of things, like in terms of decreasing the budget, it was like, let's not decrease the budget, you know. And we'll get a bit more into like what we think. But James, your party was pretty staunchly, let's get that budget up there.
Yeah. So as the, like, on the Republican side of things, you know, my group was a little bit more for increasing the military budget. And I mean, I believe that some pretty good points were brought up. I don't know if they were maybe like the best, but some of the points that we brought up, I believe, were just around how we need to increase the safety, along with just kind of how some, there's a lot more, like, I believe it was because of like incoming threats in like recent years. Those were like, I'm assuming, I can't make any total, like, I can't say anything for sure. Just, I'm assuming that that's in relation to, you know, our conflicts with Russia and our conflicts with other countries like North Korea. Those would be my guesses on why.
Yeah.
Why we made that decision to increase the military budget. Although I have a harder time saying why, because I'm also not Republican.
Yeah, and we're also slightly informed. Yeah, that's our tagline. Yeah, my party on our side of things, you know, you talk about decreasing the budget, and that's that one sure way to get unelected, or not reelected, as they say. But, you know, my personal philosophy, you know, here we go. Joe's talking about his personal philosophy. Watch out. The Pentagon has never passed an audit. And programs like the Joint Strike Fighter program, as House Representative Katie Porter pointed out, are super over budget. And there's just a bunch of like missing guardrails and opportunities for defense contractors to rip off the U.S. government. And what are we at? For the sake of simplicity, let's just round, because I know the military budget, but it's like currently, yeah, about 766 billion. We'll just round up to 800 for the simplicity of me explaining this, or what I think. But in terms of military budget, like, I think we need to make things more efficient, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, $766 billion, $800 billion, it feels like we're really just, like, we're kind of behind on the curve is what it feels like. I don't know.
Exactly. Like, and by efficient, I don't mean, like, replacing our armored vehicles with a Prius. I mean, like, you know, efficient monetarily speaking. You know, we got $800 billion. We audit the Pentagon, you know, trim a bit of the fat, figure out, because the Pentagon doesn't know where all their assets are, which is just crazy to me.
I know. You have this whole government facility, and they still are just kind of like hundreds, in the dark about so many things. And that's so strange. Like,
you literally own the property. Like, how do you not know? But that's a story for another day. So
I mean, embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's giving, like, doesn't, like, know what's up. Like,
absolutely.
Anyway.
I mean,
but, like, we audit the Pentagon. We make things more efficient. So with that, we can either, A, maintain our military readiness, but at a lower budget, you know, or B, we could just keep our current budget, and with things running more efficiently, we can increase our military readiness and capability with the money we already have in set to the military. So we don't need to keep increasing it over years. And of course, there's going to be, you know, increases for inflation or any special programs, but I think that $800 billion is a lot of money.
A bit excessive, honestly. I mean, I think that those funds could, if in my personal opinion, they could definitely be cut, and those could be allocated to different causes that are just, in my opinion, a little more pressing than, you know, giving it all to, like, the military budget. I don't think that that's the most effective usage of where all that money's going, but, you know, as a slightly informed person, I can't say too much on that.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I feel like the discussion with this is, like, we say something like $800 billion is a lot, and then it's all like, you want us to be unsafe, you want us to, like, have no military, you want us to be ruled by other countries. And no, that's not the case, you know. It's really important for me personally to, you know, feel safe in this country, and that this country has a strong national defense and military capabilities, but at the expense of my ability to live
comfortably,
freely, comfortably, to be able to afford things like healthcare, like, it's not a situation where you can't have your cake and eat it. And these are tough decisions that, in at the end of the day, need to be made.
Right, that, and we have this such, like, an expansive military budget, and yet we still can't seem to be able to help so many of our allies. And I know that that's not really up to us. That's kind of up to, you know, the executive and the, is it
really the executive,
branch, mostly?
Yeah, AP Gov lessons here.
Although I believe it's also the Congress that has to be able to decide if we want to go to war.
And of course, with any aid or anything like that. So, yeah.
But, like, you have the conflict in Palestine and Israel.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, we've really shown no support for either side.
Yeah, we've really just been, like, both sides.
Both sides, but barely. I mean, just kind of dipping our toes in the conflict.
Which it's like, yeah, it's not a, yeah, but it's, I mean, personally, in terms of, like, military spending, I think that I wonder what would happen if we, instead of, you know, spending so much on military, what if we took $100 billion away from military and put it into the Department of State, you know? What could diplomacy solve that, you know, with the same amount of money? How would that work out? You know, because if we could spend, you know, $200 billion more on the State Department and have a much more secure world, and be able to spend $400 billion less on defense because we no longer need that capability, then it's not a downside to me. And might I just say, I'm very biased because I am, like, five seasons deep into Madam Secretary.
Yeah, I've heard
great show, by
a
the
lot
way.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just jump from season to season. Like, last year, it was Desperate Housewife. This year, it's Madam Secretary. But, you know, going back to our high and mighty talk about defense spending, in our Senate simulation, we ended up increasing the military budget by 20% and making sure and Jobs went to a specific congressman state or congresswoman. Right. Yeah, she, our friend Agatha, she was like, you better put all these jobs in my state. So
that was kind of the compromise that that group had come to.
That was,
and
yeah,
I think that definitely helped in passing it, as like a lot more Democrats than I would have expected had actually voted to pass that,
yeah,
bill.
And then as we talk to, you know, something surprising in terms of passage was we had a pretty expansive climate change bill in our little Senate simulation. That was pretty funny. I'd like to say
the Republicans were a bit swindled on this one by, you know, not going to name any names, Joe. But
I'm very convincing.
Yeah, we were a little bit convinced, quote unquote, and swindled by a certain someone, a certain senator.
Very, very. So, you know, it wasn't all me. I'll say that the Republican chair of our committee was like, I don't want to write all this stuff in the bill. So, Joe, here's the pen and pencil. You can write the bill. And I, as like the Democratic majority in the committee, I'm like, okay, I'll write the bill. Sure. And so we saw it. So in that bill, we allocated a bunch more money for EPA Superfund sites. We set criminal charges for noncompliance with the law and just extra careless pollution. And let's see, what else did we do? We, for companies that were carbon neutral by 2035, domestic ones, we gave them a pretty big tax credit. For foreign companies operating in the U.S. that were carbon neutral by 2035, we gave them a tax credit, though a little smaller, to encourage domestic companies to get their act up. And of course, you know, investing in America. And there was a few other things, but the funny part was that we had our Republican colleagues here in the Benson High School Senate simulation confusing the tax breaks for the tax credits. So they were all like, so I was like, I just gave you guys a bunch of tax credits. Y'all got to give me something. Even though the tax credits were like directly like good and what I thought was like directly liberal. But then we also added clauses, you know, decarbonizing or reducing emissions by 20% from 2010 levels by, 2030?
I believe so, yeah.
And then 60% by 2040 and then net zero. By 2050.
Which is ambitious, but, you know.
Yeah. I feel like net zero is sort of like, I feel like that needs to be like revisited, you know, the idea of net zero and especially like carbon credits. Because, I mean, I don't debate that they play a really important role, but, like, some things you just can't throw money at. And, of course, you've got to be, like, cognizant of where that money's going and if it actually is making a difference. I will say, interesting, Apple Incorporated, the company. I'm sort of going off on a, what is it called?
A little tangent.
A little tangent here. But, basically, they released their first carbon neutral product earlier this year. It was an Apple Watch or something. And, you know, they couldn't make it all of the way with all their reduction and recycling efforts. And in the end, they had to resort to carbon credits. So I think that, you know, they play an important role, but we can't, I don't think carbon credits should be the first thing that we go to. But anyway, that bill very surprisingly passed. And I will say it was pretty comical to, watch the Republican head of the classroom, the Republican majority leader, reading out the most liberal climate change bill ever. Like, we got them. I got them, James. I got you.
I know you did. Unfortunate tale for me.
And it ended up passing, which was pretty, pretty cool. And then one final thing, you know, I'm getting looks to wrap this up from my friend who's just banging on the door. She's like, let me in. But we've still got to talk about one more bill. She is not having it with me. As soon as we stop this recording, she is going to come in here and have something to say. But we got to talk about one more bill first. And that was the education bill in this gov class.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was a little spicy.
That was rough.
A little nervous. It was like,
well, I think that was difficult because the Republicans appointed to that group were a little bit more I guess, would you say, playing a character. So we were a little bit more conservative acting, and...
She really wants in here. I promise we're going to wrap it up, but more on the education.
So, as I was saying, you know, we were all a little bit more conservative acting and kind of making, I wouldn't say unjustifiable, but just some peculiar choices that don't...
I heard you did.
...particularly align with what I legitimately think or my own political ideology. But, you know, I really had to get in my role, you know, I had to play my character. And I think that overall, the bill that we had come to was... quite terrible, for lack of a better word. Yeah. It's quite terrible.
Yeah, I will. It was No Child Left Behind 2.0.
Yeah,
that was it. That was
but
basically
honestly,
it.
Maybe even worse. It was pretty bad. I mean, I believe, if I can restate it correctly, it was standardized testing was mandatory.
National level standardized testing
was mandatory for everyone in the 11th grade, and if you did not pass that, you would A, not receive a high school diploma, and B, you would not, your school at least would, I think they had like a high point of like 100, yeah. Like you get,
if you got over maybe X percent of students,
yeah, you'd receive funding from the national government. But if you were to go under that, if you're the majority of your school were to not do well in that, your entire school would receive, I believe, 25% or less funding.
Like a quarter of the funding you originally had.
We definitely did not do good on that. Definitely say that was not our brightest idea.
But you won't believe the bill failed.
Yeah, well, unsurprisingly.
Thanks to your amazing Democratic minority leader, Joe Anderson, a.k.a. me, myself, and I. Plus everyone else who voted on it. But, I mean, I think this goes back to an interesting point in that, you know, if our students aren't doing well, we need to be investing in positive behavioral interventions
and
supports to make sure that, you know, if things aren't going well, taking away money is not the way to do
it. It's not the answer. It's not the option. It shouldn't be like the go-to option shouldn't be, oh, these kids aren't doing well. Well, obviously they can't change. We just need to just cut them off completely. Yeah.
If the car's not running, what, do you take the tires off? Hope that helps? I mean, yeah. Maybe their own motivation will get that car going. No. So I think that, we had some great times. They're great.
Oh, absolutely.
That was intense. I was filibustering. I was arguing. I was like, maybe I should be a lawyer.
I was definitely seen as more of a biased senator, apparently. Yeah. That was kind of a little name that I was called quite a bit. But, you know, all for the sake of the character, the role, the part that I'm playing, you know?
Yeah.
I had to go full commit or not commit at all. Go big or go home.
So I think it's always really interesting to like sort of have to switch sides and like argue on behalf of things that you can't agree with. So anyway, that's a little bit about two slightly informed senior teenagers.
I like that.
it's better than screenagers.
Oh, for sure.
Screenagers. I mean, I will say kids these days on the phones a bit much, but. That's a topic for another day that we will talk about another time for another 20-minute segment, which thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening.
Yeah,
hopefully
you so
found
much.
This interesting. You know, if not, then I guess turn that dial away from AM 1450 and
or whatever
turn
else
your phone
we're on.
Off. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're on like 11 outlets now. Like, so props to our team Jacob at KBPS. Thanks so much for tuning in. Once again, my name's Joe.
My name is James, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at x-ray.fm. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is produced by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station online at prp.fm and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm and X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM online at xray.fm. And thanks to our listeners like you, this concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. That's kbps.am.